Being a follower of Christ, being a Christian, is the greatest experience in the world. Amen? Let me try that again. Being a follower of Christ and a Christian is the greatest experience in the world. All right, we're feeling better. But it's not an easy walk, is it? The Bible teaches us this, that when we come to Christ and the Holy Spirit comes in and fills us, that a battle begins that wages inside of us. The old, what Paul calls the old sinful nature, and the new life in Christ, that it begins a battle. The fact that we believe in the resurrection of Christ should give us hope in the midst of the battle. The fact that we believe that God is the creator of all things should give us a sense of divine purpose, because God also created you. And the fact that we have a Bible to guide us should give us confidence as we boldly move forward. Today, our approach is simple. I want you to see the battle that wages inside of you, and I want you to resolve to allow the Holy Spirit to have His way in your life instead of the old sinful nature. We're going to talk about battle. Now, I never had the honor to serve in the armed forces. I've never experienced that. But I have had some conflict in my life. I was raised with two brothers, and we had some fights. Had a couple of fights at school sometimes. One time I came home and had a purple spot under my eye, and my father saw it immediately, said, "You've been in a fight?" And I said, "Yes, sir." I was on the wrestling team in high school when we would step out from our opposite teams and step on that mat, and the battle would begin until me or my opponent pinned the other one. But conflict, I know, because then I got married. Oh, we understand that one, don't we? Marriage is wonderful, amen? But it's hard, isn't it? Because you've got two people that think differently, feel different, desire different things, trying to make decisions together. It's not always easy. Now, my wife, Ginger, and I, we've had our conflicts. We've had our major disagreements. But we have never allowed them to go to the point where they become destructive. And understand this, that old sinful nature inside of you, as we'll be looking at in a moment, what it wants to do is destroy and to bring you down. So, inside of you here today resides, if you've come to Christ, His Holy Spirit. That's why Peter says, "Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world." But also residing inside of you is that old sinful nature that is demanding and selfish and pleasure-seeking. And one of them is likely going to have his way in your life. And you've got to choose which one it is. And you've got to decide, am I going to feed the Holy Spirit? Am I going to do those things that make the Spirit stronger in my life? Or am I going to feed that monster that lives inside of me that wants to destroy? I'd like to invite everyone to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. We're going to take 13 through 21, and then we'll get into your outline. Galatians 5, 13 through 21. Now, let me tell you up front here. Paul here is addressing a church in Galatia, Asia Minor today, or what we would call Turkey today. And Paul is very angry right now as he pens this, because there are those who are telling these new believers, hey, you have freedom in Christ. You can pretty much do anything you want to do. And you can live any way you want to live. And Paul says, no, our freedom in Christ is not to give in to the old sinful nature. Our freedom in Christ is that we might love each other and do good for each other. So we're going to pick up in verse 13. And again, Paul is addressing this to people just like me and you. He says, for you have been called to live in freedom. Not freedom to satisfy your sinful nature, but freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if instead of showing love among yourselves, you're always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. So what I advise you to live according to the new life in the Holy Spirit. Then you won't be doing what your old sinful nature craves. The old sinful nature loves to do evil, which is just the opposite from what the Holy Spirit wants. The Spirit gives us desires that are opposite from the old sinful desires. Catch this. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, and your choices are never free from conflict. But when you are directed by the Holy Spirit, you are no longer subject to the law. And then beginning in verse 19, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, that destructive nature, this is what your life will produce: sexual immorality, impure thoughts, eagerness for lustful pleasure, idolatry, participation in demonic activities, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, division, the feelings that everybody else is wrong except those in my group, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other kinds of sin. And here is an express warning from Paul. Please catch this. Let me tell you again, as I have before, anyone that lives that kind of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. So with that, what I would like us to do is get to our outline. We're going to take some scriptures. We're going to look at the scripture. I'm going to show you what it means, because again, you've got a battle waging. And in the end, if your old evil, sinful nature wins out, there's going to be destruction all around you. All right. Beginning in verse number 16, Paul says, so I advise you to live according to your new life in the Holy Spirit. Then you won't be doing what your old sinful nature craves. We all have a sinful, selfish nature. We all have it. You don't have to send children to school to take a class in being selfish, do you? You don't have to Seeing your children to school to take a class and being demanding to you. It's already there. We were born with this selfish nature that it's all about me. Now, some people kind of hide it. It's not so obvious. But it's in all of us. We all would love to have our world revolve around us. Oh, wouldn't we? For your spouse to just, what can I do to please you? That your children might say, Mom, Dad, what can I do to make you happy? For the boss to say, what kind of schedule would you like to have and how much would you like to get paid? It's not the way it works. We all have a sinful nature. And when that sinful nature rises up, again, the problem is that it's destructive. And it destroys, think about it. It destroys marriages, most certainly. The old sinful nature rises up between a husband and wife, and they begin a battle. Who's going to get their way? Then things get said that shouldn't be said. In the midst of this anger and hostility, and before you know, the couple, they're sleeping in different bedrooms, and then they're sleeping in different homes, and then they're sleeping with different people because their anger. This old sinful nature got the best of them. And understand, it has eternal consequences. You can tell your young children almost anything, they'll believe you. But when your children become teenagers, they begin to evaluate and examine, and they will decide their own values, what they want to believe. And one day, you and your spouse get into it. You understand what I mean by get into it? And it becomes a screaming match. And your teenager sitting in the very next room listening. And they're sitting there and they're thinking, if this is what Christianity is about, I'm checking out. Eternal consequences. Or you can't control that lustful desire for things. So you get every credit card you can get and you charge it to the limit. Then you can't pay your bills. You can't stay in a house because you keep getting evicted. You can't take care of your kids. You can't send them to school. You can't get what they need. Eternal consequences. Because you have allowed that old sinful nature to rise up inside of you. Paul says, for we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And again, it is because all of us, and I don't care how sweet you are, I don't care how much people tell you how wonderful you are, there is inside of you a selfish, demanding, evil nature. And I pray that you have allowed the Holy Spirit to be so strong you never even hear from Him. But He's there. Number two, verse 15. But instead of showing love among yourselves, you're always biting and devouring one another. Watch out. Beware. Beware of destroying one another. Now, Paul is addressing this to a church, okay? What Paul is saying, those of you in the church, there's stuff going on between you that is destructive, that comes from this old sinful nature. You're quarreling, you're backbiting, you're not doing anything to encourage each other, but to destroy each other. ever been in a church that had conflict like that? Brother, I have. I've seen Christians turn against each other. Turn because maybe they got their feelings hurt. Maybe someone said something they didn't agree with. Maybe they didn't get invited to something, but something happened and they decided they were going to have their revenge. And who's on my side? No, who's on that side? And the battle wages. And churches then often split. When it happens in a home, the marriage splits. When it happens between children and parents, the relationship is broken. Remember what Jesus told us in John 10:10 about Satan? He said, "For the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy." He uses our old sinful nature that's already there to bring destruction into our lives. Told you about my good friend Tony that I came up with. Died of a drug overdose when he had just joined the Navy. I've actually conducted several funerals in the last several years of young adults who've died of drug overdoses. Did anyone start drugs thinking it would end their life? No. When they were encouraged to participate, when someone said, "It'll make you feel good," nobody said, "But in the end, it's going to be destructive in your life." But we see it. We know it. If you do not control that old sinful nature inside of you, if you do not allow the Holy Spirit to have His way in your life, you will leave a trail of destruction. Because you have given in to the old evil nature. All right, verse 17. These two forces, the spirit and our sinful nature, are constantly fighting each other, and your choices are never free from conflict. You are engaged in a great spiritual warfare. Angels and demons battle. And our souls are the very thing oftentimes they battle for. It is in the spiritual realm. I've always been convinced that somehow God could just allow us to see what goes on in the spirit and the battle that is waging around us, the angels of God seeking to protect us and the demons trying to destroy us, that we would just fall to our knees and cry out. If you come from the old Mesquite High School and you come up Davis and then East Glen, there's a small subdivision before you get up here to Clay Mathis. Now, let me give you some of the names of the streets. Now, some of you are pretty smart, so you're going to get it immediately. But this is some of the names of the streets. Lookout Mountain, Chancellorville, and Tatum, this one will tell you, Gettysburg. They're all battles of the Civil War. Let me tell you what's going on in your life. there are battles taking place in your life. And the thing is this, I don't know where it is. I don't know where that battle is taking place. Because in each of us, I believe it's different. Because there's an area in your life that just pulls you and draws you. And again, I don't know where it is in your life. But we are constantly battling our sinful nature. If we lose enough battles, we lose the war. If we lose enough battle, there are most certainly eternal consequences for ourselves and for those around us. If you lose it on your job and you let your boss have it or another employee have it because you just think they're being unfair, you may get your way, but you've lost your influence and there are eternal consequences. We battle in different places. Oh, we can come to church and look pretty, can't we? Don't you like how we do it? We come to church and we kind of get dressed up and we put on some nice clothes and some of us comb our hair and some people even take some stuff that makes them smell good and spritz themselves with it so they come in and they look good and they smell good and they're toting a big Bible. Bigger the better, right? And just to look at them, you would think everything's right in their life. No, it's not. They're fighting a battle. A battle is waging inside of them. Because that old sinful nature that Paul keeps talking about will always surface, and again, tends to surface where you are weak. Tends to surface where you have given in. It knows where your weaknesses are. It knows what you want. We are constantly battling this old sinful nature. Verse 19. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, your lies will produce these evil results. Our sinful nature is obvious. I mean, the people, now, you can come to church on Sunday. The people in church may not see it. Your spouse knows it. Guaranteed. Your children probably know it. Your co-workers know it. Your friends know it. The control of the old sinful nature that rises up in so many people, it is obvious. Now, listen to Paul's description, and I kind of like it. Now, I'm not going to do this because I don't think it would work to begin. I thought about the idea of having people, as we go through these consequences or what happens with sin in our life, I started to ask everyone to stand if I mention where you're battling. But I suspect it would just cause another conflict in your life because you're thinking, I'm not standing. But pay attention here, and let's ask the Holy Spirit to guide us here. Paul seems to put these in categories too. He says, first of all, our old sinful nature is obvious. Sexual immorality, which is any sexual relationship between a man and a woman outside of marriage. That's God's idea, God's law. Impure thoughts, an eagerness for lustful pleasure. Your son comes home one day unexpected and he catches you there at the computer. And it's obvious what you are viewing on the computer It's not what you wanted anyone to ever see. Impure thoughts, lustful pleasure. Guys, it's our battle. It's every man's battle. Satan will see to it to rise up. And then it says, idolatry and participation in demonic activities. And the reason this is here, in the culture there in Galatia, pagan worship oftentimes focused around sexual activity. So it was something Paul's trying to get them away from. Some pagan cultures had what they would call temple prostitutes. And that was how they served their pagan idol. So Paul is saying here, these things are part of your old sinful nature, that old flesh that is destructive. Now, this is sounding kind of like home sometimes for some of you. Hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger. Wow. I know we've got people here with anger issues. Do you know why you become angry? It's really not complicated. You don't get your way. You just don't get your way. When the toddler sees something he wants, and you say no and take it away from him. When you're in the grocery store and they're sitting up in the buggy so pretty with you, and you pull up there to pay, and they look over and see the candy bars that have been put there to tempt. And they reach over and grab one. And you take it away and say, no. Then they have an outburst of anger. Not a whole lot different than what happens in a lot of times our homes when we don't get our way. Or on the jobs when your boss gives somebody else the raise instead of you. Or when your family is planning something and the decision is made that's not what you wanted to do and your anger just arises. So destructive. Continuing on, selfish ambition. And oftentimes what we see here is, I'm not going to participate, I'm not going to help, I'm not going to serve, I'm not going to love someone because it's in my way of doing what's important for me. Divisions, and I love this, the feeling that everyone is wrong except those in your own little group. In high school, they called them cliques. These groups that would get together and talk about other people and put people down, and why aren't they like us? We have them in churches, did you know that? Churches have cliques. Everybody's wrong except us. Paul says it's from your old sinful nature. And then he says there are wild parties and other kinds of sin. Again, here what he's talking about, it came from their old idol worship. That oftentimes the worship experience came down to a wild party. That's the way they would get people in. That's the way that they would invite them and entice them. And the final verse, let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. It is an express warning. And what it does is this, and see if I can make this clear. We all have a sinful nature. And when the Holy Spirit comes in, when we are saved, the Holy Spirit wants to begin to dominate our life. But we have to choose who's going to win that battle and who's going to have their way. But evidently, there are some who never have a relationship with God. Maybe they prayed a prayer at an altar, but they never encountered God. Because what happens is this: if your life just seems to be dominated by all these sinful pleasures that are destructive, and there's no evidence that God is in there, maybe it's because He's not. You can't walk with the enemy and say you love the Savior. Jesus said, either you are with me or you're against me. We constantly battle this evil influence in our life. Let's go to verses 16 and 17. So this is how Paul concludes. This is actually how he started it, but we're going to look at it in conclusion. So, now again, anytime you hear the word so, it's referring to something that happened before. So I, here how he says it, I advise you to live according to your new life in the Holy Spirit. The Spirit gives us desires that are opposite from what the sinful nature desires. Now, next Sunday, we'll talk about what the Spirit wants in your life. And to be honest, it might be a little more difficult than today's message, because it's not what we want to do. See if you can picture this. All right, over here in this room, Satan is over here, okay? Satan, his demons, they're breathing. They're looking out. They want to destroy me. Over here in this room, and this is our prayer room, are God and His angels. And both of them are trying to talk to me and tell me what I should do and what I shouldn't do. And if I'm over here, what I keep hearing, go for it. You, what? You know you want to do it. Nobody will find out. It'll be fun. Everybody else does it. And as long as I hang out here, that's all I hear. That's the only message I'm listening to. But over here, I'm being told, forgive that person. Over there, I was told, get even with them. Over here, I'm being told, deny yourself pleasure like Christ denied it for Himself. When over there, they're just saying, go for it, it's fun. My choice is this: who am I going to listen to? Some of you, you're hanging out over here. Your friends are hanging out over here. The radio station that you were tuned to, this is where they broadcast from. Is it surprising that the enemy is constantly at work in your life and you're battling it? Paul says, no. You need to leave this one behind. You need to go instead over here where God is. You need to listen to Him. That's why we read our Bibles. That's why we sing songs of praise to God and listen to Christian radio. That's why we hang out with other Christian friends, so that we feed the Spirit instead of feed the monster. Some of you are actually wondering, why is your old sinful nature so strong? And it's because you keep feeding him. And he's growing in strength. So I advise you to live according to your new life in the Holy Spirit. The Spirit gives us desires that are opposite from what the sinful nature desires. Our sinful nature can be defeated. And I say that because Paul is constantly telling us to live in the Holy Spirit, which means it is possible. But the question is, how do we do it? Can we stand up and pray a quick prayer and that does it? No. That's why Paul refers to it as a conflict and a battle. A couple of points here. First of all, be prepared for spiritual conflict. A good soldier on the front line wakes up every day knowing that there's an enemy out there and that enemy wants him. He's going to get some information from his commanding officer every day. What are the movement of our enemies? Where can I anticipate them? What can I expect? Then hopefully he puts on his body armor, picks up his weapon, and he doesn't go whistling down the path where he knows his enemy is. He's cautious, he's looking, he's aware. Every day, you never know when it's going to happen. It's your day off. Okay. You're looking forward to the day. The phone rings. And you look at the phone and you just, oh, it's the boss. Yes, sir. So-and-so couldn't come in. I need for you to come in today. Spiritual conflict. Well, I had my plans, but the Bible says we are to yield to authority and do it pleasurably as unto the Lord. Every day, you get up, you're going off to your job, and you're pushed for time just a wee tad. Anybody pushed from time getting to your job? And you walk out the front door and you got a flat tire. Spiritual conflict because you're fixing to have a hissy fit. You see, it's not about you. We go through this life, it's about me and mine and my pleasure. No, it's not. Remember, by him were all things created, and for his pleasure we are created. Be prepared. After church today, I don't know if every wife and husband are on the same page or not, what you got going after church, but it could be a conflict. Your teenager may ask you something that will arise, bring up a conflict. Be prepared for everyday conflict. And this is what Paul says. Let me share this for you. Verse 24. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. What Paul is saying, those in Christ who want to defeat the enemy, they have made a willful decision. A willful decision not to listen to the old sinful nature, not to deal with the old sinful nature, to have the old sinful nature purged from having such influence in their life, and says they have nailed them to the cross. Then you don't have to keep listening. But you can listen. But I would remind you again, it happens to us all. Just when you think you're comfortable and you're walking with God, your sinful nature will show its ugly head. And you'll say, and I know that oftentimes we do this, why did I say that? Why did I act that way? Because you yielded to the sinful nature, not the Holy Spirit. I have for you today on the backs of your outlines a simple prayer. This is John Wesley's covenant prayer. One of the greatest preachers the world's ever seen, founded Methodism, shook two continents, Europe and America, for Christ. This was a prayer he prayed daily. And I'm going to challenge you today. I don't know if you do this or not. I don't know if you have a morning ritual. John Wesley had one. I don't know if the alarm clock goes off and you just jump up and go half asleep. But I'm telling you, you need to put some armor on and you need to get prepared. I'm going to suggest you take home the Sherman outline today and try this for a week. Just try it for a week. As your feet hit the floor, or before they hit the floor, pray this prayer. Lord God, I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Place me with whom you will. Put me to do nothing, or put me to suffering. Let me be put to work for you or set aside for you, praised for you or criticized for you. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. See, he's emptying himself of what he wanted to do that day. I freely and fully surrender all things to your glory and service. And I love this. You're mine, and I am yours. So be it. Let the covenant which I have made on earth, let it also be made in heaven. That every step we take every day, we're conscious of the fact that there's a battle waging, and we want to listen to the Lord and do His bidding instead of our bidding. Beside the outline on the back, I put a blank. And I want to encourage you to do something for me. I want to encourage you to put your name in that blank. And by so doing, say, I'm going to try this for a week. Before my feet hit the floor, before I begin this day, I'm going to pray this prayer and add something to it. You know where you battle. And oh God, help me on the job today to display Christ. Wherever you battle, that you begin the day like that good soldier, attuned to what is around you. And that everything that rises up, this old evil nature, is from the enemy. And you need instead to listen to the Holy Spirit. Would you stand with me for just a moment? I don't know about you, but I battle sometimes. Like Paul says, why is it sometimes I do the things I don't want to do and I don't do what I need to do? Boy, is that me. But I also know, as long as I am focused on the Lord, listen to the Holy Spirit, tune out the enemy, I can walk with God. And I just wonder today if you would say, Pastor, amen. I know that battle, and I want to resist the enemy. If you just slip your hand up, I want to pray for you. You are not alone. I'll make you that promise. You are not alone. Father God, we know we battle. We sense that struggle inside of us, Lord. And Father, we do not want to give in to the enemy and that old sinful nature. We want to yield to the Spirit. Yield to His direction in our life. Yield to what the Lord is telling us to do. And so, Father, today we first of all ask you to forgive us our sins and our failures. We ask you to empower us that we can boldly say, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. We kick the old sinful nature off the throne of our life, and we ask the Holy Spirit to sit upon our throne. And now, Father, have your way in our midst. Have your way in our midst by having your way in our hearts. And may, Father, we be certain and we be quick to yield and yield only to you. For us in Jesus' matchless name. When you ask, He said He would do. It's in His name that we ask. And we know He wants to empower us to serve Him. So we claim that promise today, Lord, that you're upon the throne of our life. May we be attentive to you. For us in Jesus' one matchless holy name that we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Would you be seated?